This year, I am really focused on my health and sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out there right now, and they are one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. No seed oils, no preservatives or toxins. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and honestly, you could taste it. I started taking Symbiotica because I was feeling sluggish and tired, and I just wanted to feel better, but I also wanted a supplement that actually tasted great. Plus, their supplements are super easy to just take on the go. They taste good. Having supplements that don't taste like chalk or artificial ingredients makes me look forward to taking them every day.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal this winter has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking. So I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well. And I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
I take a Symbiotica every morning with my eggs and I'm ready to go. I'm alert and then I hit the gym. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every single month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use code BACHELOR for 15% off your subscription order.
I think when you're in a relationship, being able to travel with somebody is like one of the best things you could do.
I agree. I think some of our best memories together are exploring new places and relaxing somewhere on a beach.
So we've been working with the brand Beachbound Vacations to find our next perfect beach vacation. And instead of spending hours searching for your perfect beach, take the perfect beach finder quiz and let Beachbound do the heavy lifting for you. Go to beachbound.com to get started today. I mean, I love it. I can't wait for our next vacation.
To get started, go to beachbound.com, click be the first to try, and then select take our quiz.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Welcome back. Happy New Year's, Happy Hour listeners. I'm Becca Kufrin.
And I am Michelle Young.
Oh, man. And we are thrilled to be back with you again, not only for this week, but this new year. It's obviously our first episode of Bachelor Happy Hour in 2023. So it's good to see you again, Michelle. It's been a couple of weeks. I've missed you.
Oh, my goodness. It feels like forever. And it's 2023. Anytime the year changes over, do you ever make the mistake of constantly writing 2022 on whatever documents you're writing on?
Yes. Yes. Yesterday I was typing up like all of my, you know, reports for just work and everything. And I kept doing 2022 and I'm like, this is not right. I still think it's 2021. Like the other day I was talking to someone and I said 2021 and they're like, you're living 2 years ago, babe.
It is. It really is crazy. And it does fly so fast. And just to even like take that time reflecting back on the new year. And today, as we're going to bring in the new year with our first episode in 2023, we are going to be having the one and only Jesse Palmer joining us today. But before that, we're going to do a little catching up because we have not been here for a while. So Becca, anything, what is new? What is going on for your 2023? Fill us in.
Oh, man. You know, they always say new year, new me. I'm saying new year, same me, because not much has changed. We are still under renovations with our house. I was like, it's going to be done by the new year. I'm so excited. And that is not the case. Everything like the holidays, the new year, it was all very chill for us this year, which I love. It was very relaxing. We just spent time with Thomas's family. And so, yeah, no complaints, but like nothing exciting like you to share because you're currently in Mexico. You've been there for a few days. Tell me all about that trip.
Oh my goodness. I've been in Mexico for the last 4 days and I don't know about you, Becca. Well, you and I briefly kind of spoke about this. It's just like the holidays and especially like New Year's Eve, there's so much pressure to do these like big plans and ring in the new year. And it's like, there's like this, almost like this energy of like, if you don't do that, then you're not going to have a good year.
Right.
It's like superstitious, but so nice to hear that you had a relaxing New Year's Eve. I was in Mexico. I was with the girls. Rachel is here, two of my good friends from Minnesota. And so we just went downtown and we celebrated. It was all of us single girls together. No men, no drama around men. It was just truly, truly refreshing and has been kind of a good start. Like, I think this might be my yearly tradition, is to either go on vacation or just come to Mexico. Like, this resort has been wonderful. And so it's been really just, it's a good start. It was a stressful year. Yeah.
Yeah. You needed a getaway, a reset. I'm so glad that you were able to do it with your girlfriends. I will say, though, watching your Instagram stories, I was cackling when you were at El Squidro. I was like, I spent many a night when I was 18. When I was 18, my spring break in Mexico at El Squidro. And I was like, oh, God, the memes. The memories.
We were laughing so hard. And before we went there, because we weren't really sure if we were going to stay at the hotel because they were having this little gathering. But like, we heard Squid Row and everyone kept saying that. And I was like, why does this sound so familiar? It sounds so familiar. And so I asked, and I'm like, okay, on New Year's, like, what is the age range of this place?
Young.
And they're like, well, typically it's young, but I will say, they said around New Year's, it's definitely tends to be older, because in order to get in, you like are purchasing tickets that are not cheap. To get a table, it's not cheap whatsoever. And so that then attracts like an older age group. But we had so much fun. And there we literally have like two albums. We have our shared album of things that, you know, like we're like all posting on our stories and like enjoying the time and sharing it with people. But then we also have like memes for the girls, and that's like stuff that's not going out. Like,
no one
not
can ever
getting
see
leaked.
Those.
Nobody can ever see those. Like, it's
please
just
tell
for
me.
Us.
Ugh. Please tell me you did not dance in the birdcage.
Oops. No. I wouldn't have. I didn't know it was called a birdcage.
Oh, yeah.
There's
Wait,
so
it's
many
a birdcage.
Of those.
It's in the shape of a birdcage. I have
definitely
to say,
dance in the birdcage.
Now that I'm like living vicariously through you, all of the memes are coming back of when I was a young little lady in Mexico. And actually, this is like the first dose of reality TV I ever had. Mm-hmm. We were partying with the Bad Girls Club. Remember the Bad Girls?
Oh, my God.
And they were
God.
Filming at a bar next to El Squid Row. And we, like, one of my friends knew the bartender there. She was friends with him. And so, like, we would go there every night, and the Bad Girls Club would be filming there. And I just remember, like, sitting back being like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. Like, these fights, this drama, like, who would do this? And then fast forward 2 years later, I'm on a reality TV show. But I should have known then. But.
Oh, my gosh. It was fun. Like, it was fun. We let loose. We had so much fun. We ended up, the hotel, like, set us up with, like, a limo. I don't remember the last time. Oh, no, I don't remember the last time I was in a limo. No, I do remember the last time I was in a limo.
On your show? On your season?
Yeah. Actually, no. No, I wasn't in a limo. Because I was delayed in showing up.
But on your own season, you had to have been in a limo.
Oh, I guess I did.
Right?
I thought it was an Escalade for a second. No, it was a limo, wasn't it?
I love how you're deciding if it was a limo or an Escalade that you were in.
I clearly blacked out because I was so nervous. I couldn't feel my legs.
I think that's the consensus of everyone. Definitely. We always, no one remembers like those first moments. It's a lot.
It truly is.
Speaking of first moments, I mean, the host of the show is here with us today. I know you mentioned Jesse's coming on very shortly. And it's crazy to think, I was actually looking through, like, I keep track of all my podcast episodes that I record, like, and dates. And it was exactly 1 year ago today that we had Jesse on for the first time on Happy Hour to intro him for last year's Bachelor, which is crazy. It's just flown by. So I'm actually excited to have him on right now and just pick his brain about how this past year has been, how he is feeling going into year number two. So, Michelle, I think we should just bring Jesse on right now.
I completely agree. Let's get him on here.
Welcome back to Happy Hour, Jesse. I was just telling Michelle, it was exactly 1 year ago today that you first joined us on the Happy Hour podcast. And this was kicking off your first year as host. So much has happened.
I know. Time flies. First off, it's great seeing you both again.
You too.
And Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah, it's amazing. I guess for all of us. It's been so much has happened in the last year. Time has flown. I can't believe we got through Clayton season and then Gabby and Rachel season and then Paradise. And I feel like it's been a minute. I feel like it's been a minute since we got done all that. And now I'm obviously really excited to kind of kick off 2023 with with Zach coming up at the end of the month.
Isn't it? You just said you kicked off last year with Clayton season. Doesn't that feel like lifetimes ago?
Like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I just feel like so much has happened. Mm-hmm. You're right. Since that time. It's amazing. Just all the travel, all the different people I've gotten to meet, and to think that we're already, it's like a been a full cycle, it feels like, because now Zach's back at being the Bachelor. It's like, okay, we're kind of back at where we started with a bunch of familiar faces. So yeah, it's I got a lot more gray after this last year, for sure.
This franchise is aging you.
Oh no, well, you look great. And you're, for those who can't see, he's wearing this like lovely pink collared neck shirt. It works for you.
It is a very good color.
But it's crazy that you mentioned that, Jesse, because I believe it was at that AFR that I met you for the first time. And I remember asking you, just because Clayton was about to be announced as Bachelor, I was asking you, like, he just got done with his season is when I met you. And I remember sitting and running into you into the hair and makeup trailer. I'm not trying to, like, expose you and say that you were getting your makeup done. You're getting your makeup done, but you didn't need it, but you were getting, you know, TV.
I was getting the grays covered.
But I remember running into you in the trailer and just like asking you, like, how are you doing? Because this is a massive learning curve. And how was this past year? Like, do you feel like you're getting your Bachelor hosting legs underneath you? Because you didn't really have anybody to look to a certain extent. I mean, you could potentially reach out to people, but like, that's a big, big gig. Mm-hmm. How was it?
Oh, it was amazing. My head spinning. When you talking about that, because I remember when I got to meet you both, and it was funny for me in that day because I was fanning out as a fan of the show, having watched all of you. It was sort of this like pinch me moment where I was sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe I'm lucky enough. I'm actually hosting this show now. And I get to meet all these people that I've been watching on TV. I felt like I knew you. We were in that little tiny cramped makeup room before getting ready to do the AFR. It was wild. It has been a roller coaster of a year, no doubt. It's been learning on the fly. Every day has been new. Things have moved very, very quickly. I think at times I feel like I haven't really been able to catch my breath, but I am really, really lucky. I have a lot of really great people I work with that are super supportive. And I think just trying to be authentic, I think, is probably what's helped me the most. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be myself and not try to be somebody else throughout it all. But, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. And it's crazy that we're here at this point because this last year went by so fast. And I think in large part because I enjoy it so much.
Mm-hmm. So we obviously know you host so many different things. Like, you are a busy, busy man. And hosting, saying yes to host The Bachelor, the franchise, that's a big undertaking. How do your other hosting jobs differ from when you host just The Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Paradise?
Yeah, it sort of depends on some of the other jobs. So college football at ESPN, something I've been doing for 17 years, and I'm not actually hosting. I sort of am more of an analyst role, and that's sort of definitely in its own category. The Holiday Baking Championship, Spring Baking Championship, Food Network stuff is a ton of fun. It's, you know, it's a much shorter film schedule. It's very compact. We shoot one season in about 2.5 weeks. Oh, so it goes really quickly. And part of what I love so much about that show, and it's part of what I love so much about hosting some of these shows in the Bachelor franchise, is the people and being around people. And talking with them and helping to try and tell their stories, that's really the most fun I think I have and what I get out of it the most. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor shows obviously go go way longer, as we all know. It goes on for months. And it's funny. It's sort of like pro football in a sense, where there's the season and then there's the off season. I mean, Bachelor never really goes to sleep. Like, you know, we're talking about it in the off season. We're building up to new shows. We're reminiscing on past shows. We're catching up with old cast. We're always looking ahead. There's always news and things to talk about. And so it really is 365. And I think that's part of what makes it so unique and so special.
I can't even imagine, even just listening to you talking right now, of like the schedule you have to keep up with. How is it? How does it, I mean, Emily, she must be a champ with this, like, because you're truly, because you're on the road for when you're in season and you're traveling, you know, bachelorette's not in a bubble anymore. So you guys are fully back to normal traveling. And so you have that schedule, and then it rolls over into either, you know, Bachelorette next, and then Paradise. And then in between this, you're doing your ESPN things, and then you're doing, you know, the holidays are past, but how do you keep up that schedule, and how do you find time with Emily to spend with all of this?
She's looking at me right now. She heard you say that. And she's
tell
like,
her hi.
Brownie
guy.
Points.
She's like,
tell her hello. Brownie points. How do you?
she's been such a rock star. One of the things I think I'm most appreciative about Emily is that she gives me space to pursue this. And I think it's because she knows how much I love doing it. It's really important to me. And what's so special, one of the things that's so special about Emily is that I think she realizes, like, my Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what gives me self-actualization is a lot of it is my work, and specifically this job. I never thought, if you had asked me a little over a year ago if I would ever be here doing this, I would have told you, I would have said, there's absolutely no way. That would be a dream opportunity, but I'll never get it. The fact that I have it, I feel so lucky. I'm so happy doing this. I look forward to it. Emily realizes that, and she gives me the space to do it. And what's cool too, I get to include Emily in a lot of it as well. Emily comes on the road. She comes out and visits me when we're filming in LA. She comes out, you know, wherever we are, sometimes traveling, and she gets to kind of be there, and she gets to meet some of the cast, and she's around the producers. And so I'm able to kind of incorporate her into it as well, because, you know, I want it to feel good to her too. It's important she knows sort of where I am and what I'm doing and why I love it so much. And I think she gets to see a little bit of that when she comes out on the road and gets to be around it.
Well, and especially when you're traveling with just the team in general. And I don't think people realize how big the Bachelor team actually is. Like, there is a huge group of people behind the cameras that make this show run. And when you spend day in and day out with them, they kind of become your family. And so it's a good thing that she's able to integrate within that family as well and get to know who you're spending all of your time with. I mean, just speaking from my experience, Michelle, I'm sure you met a lot of the production team and everyone behind the scenes, like some of their family when you were traveling. And it's a really special bond. Like, I still talked to like some kids that came on my season that were traveling with their parents. And so it's
same.
Yeah. So it's a really cool thing. And so I think, I mean, we're all team Emily over here. We absolutely love her. We've never met her, but we're fans of her. And so if she ever gets bored when you're on the road, just send her to us and we'll hang out with her.
Oh yeah. She's really good. She's really good at giving everybody the dirt on me too. By the way, we have like lots of people on set that are always like, what's he really like though? Honestly. Yeah. And then she's like, actually, let me tell you a story. And it's like she'll kind of like walk down the hallway with him. So yeah,
she'd be glad to share that too.
About him.
She seems like a real, real keeper. And hopefully you're able to spend time together during the holidays. Any traditions that you guys had or like celebrated?
This holiday season was nice. We try to go away for her birthday, which is right before Christmas. Emily hit it out of the park. She got married right before Christmas, and it just bleeds into Christmas, and then she has New Year's. So she's like a December baby and just kind of rolls in. So
it goes anniversary. It literally goes anniversary, birthday, Christmas, New Year's Eve.
It's like
she knows what she's doing.
It's like a Paris Hilton birthday from like 20 years ago. It's like, it goes on for like 3 months.
Rack it all up. Rack up all those gifts.
She's a smart woman.
Yeah, she's got her hands out like this all the time. So we went away for her birthday, which was really nice. And then we had Christmas at my parents, which has been great. Mom and dad always get us onesies. This year we did silk pajamas.
I saw, really, I went down a rabbit hole creeping on you, Jesse, on Instagram when I saw your onesie picture. And yeah, it's a beautiful family. But I went through and I saw all the old onesie photos too. I was like, this is a good tradition to have.
It's consistent. I mean, if the Palmers are anything, at least they're consistent. We may be a lot of things, but at least for that. So that was fun too. And then it's sort of like this turnaround time where kind of things really pick up and get busy again. It's bowl season in college football, the national championship's coming up. So I'm back on the road, and then we're building up till Zach's season. So there's kind of, you hit the ground running right after all of that. But it was really, really nice to sort of see a lot of family and obviously get this time with Emily, especially kind of in a very special month. It's her, she turned 22 this year.
Ooh. Emily did?
No, she's just over there. So I just want she's
ooh, I was gonna say love. She great. Looks like she's 22. She's not aging.
Doing great. I need
her secrets.
I'm still getting the Brazilian eye.
we just need to have her on this podcast at some point.
Yeah. I just can't be here for it.
So for you right now, you know, Zach's season doesn't start for a couple weeks yet. Do you have any plans for this month before it gears up? I mean, I'm sure you're kind of dipping your toes in, getting ready for the season, but do you have any plans before that kicks off?
I think I'm really going to get my mind right. That's really what I want to do. I'm excited for people at home to kind of embark on this journey with Zach and sort of see his story. Now that I've done this for a small amount of time, there's a lot of newness and freshness to Zach's season. There's things that I'm really excited for people at home, especially Bachelor fans, to sort of see throughout all this. So I know there'll be a lot of press, there'll be a lot of media and things kind of getting people set and sort of setting the table. Mm-hmm. I'm just really, really excited for him. You know, and we've all been there before, being in that position. You filmed it and you're waiting and there's trepidation because you're not sure how everyone's going to take it. You're nervous. How's this thing going to be edited? How am I going to be portrayed on TV? I'm really, really excited. I haven't seen anything yet, but I'm really hopeful. I'm really hopeful for him and really, really excited for him because I was already a fan of Zach before we got going, obviously based on my time with him during Rachel and Gabby's season. But I really think he shines. I really think he comes through. He has a beautiful story. And I'm really excited for people to see it.
We don't have any spoilers, right? I feel like usually there's something out there that we kind of can gauge the season. Are there?
They're definitely spoilers.
Send me them.
They've got to be out there somewhere. I haven't seen them yet.
Okay, I feel like there are spoilers, but more of them tend to be like about the contestants and not about Zach. Mm-hmm. As much where like a lot of times a lot of different things like happen would be spoilers about the leads and both of them. I would say that would you feel like it's like the least spoiled season up until this point? Like, we're getting kind of close.
That's a good, yeah. You know, I never actually thought about that, Michelle. That's actually interesting though. You're right. It has been rather quiet. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if part of that is because we have yet to announce the cast officially. Mm-hmm. Normally they already sort of know that anyway, right? I mean, that's part of what the spoilers are. It's who the cast is.
Yep.
But yeah, obviously the cast hasn't yet been announced. I'm today going to be going on TikTok Live to announce the cast, which I'm really, really excited about. And then I'm sure all the spoilers are going to start just flying out.
As soon as that gets done.
Yes, you'll get overwhelmed. An avalanche, tidal wave of spoilers.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Yeah, I don't know much about the contestants. I feel like I don't even know much about Zach. So I feel like going into this season with a fresh pair of eyes will be nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to ask you this. So one thing, I mean, you said yes to being the host, but the role requires a lot more guidance than maybe you initially expected, right? Like, you're not only just kicking off the show and like setting the baseline or the storylines for these people to fall in love, but like you're also a support system for the leads and some contestants. Do you feel like... Okay, this is a two-part question. Do you feel like when you were The Bachelor that you still had that same support structure, or did you go into this knowing like you maybe had lacked some things when you were the lead and you wanted to be able to give more to the leads and contestants when you became host?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it is really unique and individual to the lead, to you, Becca to Michelle and sort of what you felt you needed or wanted. And that's certainly how I felt too. I didn't ask for a lot of guidance on mine. I think part of that was because the show was new and that role hadn't really clearly been defined. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to, if I should, what things, you know? And so, you know, I think what I learned is Clayton was a very different bachelor than Zach. And so both need different things. Yeah. One thing I've always really tried to be careful of, I still try to make this a priority. I just don't want to interject myself and make it about me. Here's what I think. Totally. I'm always going to be so happy to give my advice, my help. Not saying it's going to be the right answer if it's asked for. Right. Or if I feel like it's warranted and needed. And like there was a moment on Rachel's season where she was really down when we were in Bruges and I went and spoke to her sort of privately in her on the boat. And just because I felt like she needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And so with Zach, you know, I feel like you're always wearing different hats with each lead. Zach was someone I learned pretty quickly that he needs support. And he's someone who has amazing intentions. The last thing Zach ever wants to do is hurt anybody's feelings. And I know we say that about a lot of people. Zach takes goodbyes very hard, very tough. And there were some moments, I think, during this season where he had eliminated someone or sent someone home and got really emotional. And the weight of the moment really hit him. And there was a lot of times where I think in the past, it's like, all right, rose ceremony, everybody's done, off we go. And we'll you know, get ready for the next day. You really had to sort of wait around and be there for him. Sometimes on camera, but other times just to stick around and be there for him, to talk to him off camera and be like, hey man, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about it. So, you know, it's, you know, I think doing this job, there's a lot of different things you have to do. But I think so much of it depends on who the person is and what it is they need or what it is they want. But one thing I know is I don't ever want to push myself on them. If they decide they don't need it or want it.
Yeah. Right. It's also so hard to just even navigate that as a lead, especially nowadays, because being the lead looks tremendously different than being a lead. You have social media now. And just like the whole following aspect of it, of like the phase after you get done filming, you know that there's this massive phase of watching it back. The world's watching it back to you as well, but everybody's commenting on it. And that's a huge part that a lot of times gets in the head of different leads while they're filming of, okay, well, I know that like this person got a ton of hate for doing this. Even when we were all contestants. And so I'm going to try to navigate that differently. And it like a lot of times ends up with the lead not acting themselves.
I think it's because
you're just scared that you're going to get canceled. You're scared that people are going to take it a different way. You like overthink how to act at times. I feel like, do you feel like Zach was able to navigate that, or how he was able to navigate that? Was he able to put the pressure of social media and what others might be receiving it as and just be himself while he was there?
Yeah, that's such a good point, Michelle. I mean, I think it's so much harder now not to worry about what people are going to think about what you said or what you did. I think one of the biggest compliments I can give Zach is that he is himself unapologetically through and through. I really feel like Zach, people say, well, he's only 25 years old. How can he know? Zach knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Zach knows what he's about and what he stands for. And I'll say throughout this season, he is very consistent. To be fully honest with you two, I don't know if Zach's ready for what's coming up, but are any of us really ready?
Right.
You know, I don't think you can fully be ready.
Yeah, you can't fully be ready.
You can be ready as ready as possible, but because you don't know how people are going to respond, you have to take it as they're responding.
So it's so true. You know, we always talk about how, you know, nothing can prepare you for being the bachelor. Nothing can prepare you for being the bachelorette. You know, you just got to go out and do it. Nothing can prepare you for being the bachelor or bachelorette once it airs.
Right.
And having to deal with everything socially. I mean, that's almost an entire separate conversation, I think.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
I know Zach has an amazing family. I know he has an amazing support system. I don't know how he's going to take it. You know, one thing we all know is that you're never going to make all of Bachelor Nation happy.
Right.
Like, it's just literally impossible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what Zach can, why he can lay his head down to bed every night and have peace of mind is because he knows who he is and he wasn't being somebody fake. You know, mm-hmm. you might like him, you might not like him, you might like a decision or dislike one, but he was being authentic to himself. And at the end of the day, I think that's all Zach can do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he did.
I'm glad that you said he was consistent through and through, because I feel like one of my issues, and this is just me personally, and maybe you can attest to it too or agree, I don't know, but we've seen in the past other leads have come on saying at the beginning, you know, we want XYZ, like they're set, like we want a partner that has certain qualities. And then by the end, I feel like I've been rocked where I'm like, you weren't adding up with what you were saying at the beginning, and you get kind of lost in the middle of the filming and just in the show, I guess. And so I'm hopeful, you know, I don't know too much about Zach. So I'm hopeful that this season will surprise me, but I do hope, like you said, he is consistent and goes in saying what he wants and being able to find that at the end. I mean, right? Like that's the end of, like, we want him to find love, whether you like Zach or not. Like, we still want these leads and these contestants to find a partner in life. So let's get into some more fun stuff. You did a lot in this past year, as we said at the beginning. You've traveled all over the world. Where was, throughout this past year for the seasons, where was your favorite place that you've traveled to for the show?
Oh, we were so lucky to get back out traveling again. I feel like I started hosting right at the time where they opened everything back up. Mm-hmm. Reykjavik for me, Michelle's laughing because she didn't.
I'm literally so freaking, okay, I will tell you.
Michelle,
I'm
not, you traveled home to Minnesota. What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm not salty. I'm not salty about a lot of things. I'm salty about this, and I didn't realize how salty I am.
It was amazing. I had been there before with my brother. We stayed for only a couple of days. We were there for about 2 weeks with Clayton, with Susie, Gabby, and Rachel, and it was amazing. It was so cold. It was so dark all the time. But I love like the Scandinavian thing. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. I don't mind cold weather. I just thought it was so beautiful. Emily came out. We got to we had like one day off where her and I got to drive around the Golden Circle, and there was like geysers coming out of the snow, and there was waterfalls, and there was like stuff bubbling off to the side of the road. And there was just like, there was all this there's a crater. There's all this crazy stuff. It was really, really cool. Gabby and Rachel season, you know, we were on the boat, obviously, kind of going up the coast of Northern Europe. We spent a lot of time in Bruges. I don't know if have you guys been to Bruges?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, it's beautiful. I hope you get to visit it. Just this really small medieval city. It's so well kept. It's like chocolate. It's like waffles, French fries. It's just
sold.
All the things.
That's all you needed to say. Chocolate, waffles, fries. Why are we not there already?
it was all the things. So that was also so great. And then, honestly, paradise, you know, I know people talk about how hot it is and everything. And we were there for forever. It was a longer season than normal. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed paradise. I really did.
Okay, Jesse, I'm going to ask you this. I've never been to paradise. Okay, Becca's been there. But I feel like as a host, you might have a slightly different amount of time that you're in the hot sun. Like, you do, like, you know what I mean? Whereas, like,
there's
the
no
contestants,
reprieve, though.
You
there's
come out,
no reprieve.
Like, you come out and then you do the, not, I'm not docking your work because you do a ton. But you're probably in the air conditioning a lot, right?
I was just about to say I had air conditioning, though.
You're going to have a lot of contestants coming after you with pitchforks after saying paradise.
It was a big asterisk. Having the AC definitely makes that experience entirely different. And actually getting to sleep, unlike a lot of the people.
Correct.
We're
getting 8 hours with
Jesse,
one of those sleep masks and everything.
But when you're, so I know that you don't sleep where they film.
I do.
But do you?
Yeah, some
you
nights
don't
I did.
Stay at Vedanta?
No, I stayed down at in Sayulita, like where everybody stays.
Playa Escondido. So, yeah. But the rooms there, they take out all the air conditioning. Like, even in your holding room, isn't it still so hot? You just have to keep the windows open and just let the breeze like be your cooling system.
Yeah. See, Michelle? Yeah.
So
see
do you Michelle? Recommend, honestly, you know what? Maybe I'll show up on the sand just to see what your conditions are like. Okay, Jesse?
Show up on the sand for their tacos. Their tacos are worth it.
I've heard so much.
Yes, I'm telling you. So they get right. Tacos were good. You know, it was, I personally, and I don't hate crabs. I actually like crabs. Like,
they are cute.
They are cute.
I wasn't afraid of the crabs.
So you, okay, so, wow, I'm so shocked that you said Paradise. But, okay, so you've done Paradise, right? You have the Paradise scene under your belt. You have the Bachelor's scene. You have the Bachelorette. What has been your favorite piece or favorite show to host? And you can even also include, like, ESPN 2 and whatever, but across the board, what is your favorite show? Nobody's allowed to have hard feelings.
Oh, it's so hard. Football, obviously, is sort of a wheelhouse job because I've been doing it since I was 7. So it's where I feel comfortable the most, maybe. But like I said earlier, the Bachelor, like any of those shows mm-hmm. have been great because I feel like they're all different. And again, mm-hmm. it really comes down to the people. Mm-hmm. It's new stories. It's new journeys. For the three shows I've hosted, it's always been new places we've been traveling and all new stories. It's been amazing. That's the most fun I've had.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like you get so much variety in all that you do, which is probably also a fun part. It's like you said, football is vastly different than I'm assuming hosting Paradise versus Bachelor. It's like you are always kind of on your toes. So that leads me to my next question. What is one moment or situation where throughout, whether it's Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Paradise, that has been like the messiest, or were you in your mind were like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know how to handle this. I don't want to touch this. Like throughout this past year, give us like some good juicy details about like a messy, messy moment.
There's two right away. Like you're asking that question, and right away, like there's two moments that come up right away. The first was back in Reykjavik. It was the rose ceremony from hell.
Oh, yes.
It was really intense, really emotional. And it was one of those situations where, you know, Clayton and I had spoken beforehand about what he was going to say, what was on his mind, what he was thinking, what he was feeling. And, you know, when he told me what he was going to do, he just sort of knew where that was going. And I just obviously in that moment really felt for the women. And that was a very, I just remember it just being incredibly, incredibly emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think that came across. I think for people that saw that, that really came across. The second one would have been a rose ceremony during the Bachelorette when Rachel had three different guys reject her roses. Mm-hmm. We never saw that situation arising. I know that was sort of a moment that we were just kind of riding the lightning and seeing what would happen. But I think being in the room and just looking at Rachel and just kind of seeing how that was affecting her, especially too, because I know that she had just been through the previous season with Clayton. Right. And she, of course, she was part of that rose ceremony from hell, obviously. That was really tough. I could just see how devastated she was. Yeah. And so those were two moments that I never anticipated happening. And just in the moment, just trying to help navigate it and help them navigate it as best as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, be honest. Has there ever been a contestant where you were like, I want to sit them down and give them a piece of my mind?
There's a lot of those. I feel like a lot of those happen in Paradise.
It's the heat, it's the alcohol, it's everything. The crabs.
I think you're right. Yeah, it's a combination of like margaritas and humidity and no breeze. And people just pop off a lot. And sometimes stuff happens, you know, a lot of it's what happens, what's being filmed. But there's also a lot of stuff that happens off camera. And you sort of see sometimes interactions they're having with producers or with even with camera operators, audio people. It's just not very nice. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of just a moment where you just have to be like, hey, you know, you still got to be respectful of everybody here. I mean, look, it's hot for you. It's hot for them. I mean, you're not the only one that's awake till 5 a.m.
And they have all the heavy gear on them.
Yeah. This woman's been carrying a camera all day, all night.
Oh, that boils my blood when people are mean.
I have so much respect. I loved Mike and Martine. I love all of them. I literally still talk to them to this day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this question just popped in my head. As we spoke about it, you're a host. And so you really are popping in and out and helping the contestants or the leads navigate and really functioning with them as one unit, correct? But you are not with everybody all day, every day. How do you stay informed? Like, how are you, you know, at the piece at times where you're not there, how do you stay informed about what's taking place so that, like, you're on the same page?
Yeah, I'm constantly checking in. If I'm not there, I'm constantly checking in with producers throughout the day and getting and asking for updates and trying to be proactive about that. I've also actually started hanging around and being in the background on a lot of dates, just sort of incognito.
He's the third wheel.
Just like
all the very nice dates, and they keep like showing up. You know, it's like the Wells in Paradise when like who went on the date? Was it Danielle and
Michael.
Yeah. And then Wells just keeps popping up. Essentially, that's Jesse, except for like he's just behind and you don't know it.
I'm picturing the scene in the Kardashians when like I think it's Khloe pops up over the booth, the restaurant booth with the binoculars.
So
that's Jesse.
I'm in Reykjavik on a donkey. Safari hat, so out of place. It's another way just to sort of be present and to see it, because when you're getting it firsthand, obviously it gives you better perspective on everything.
Right.
And also what I found out too is oftentimes when you're there, like this happened a couple times on Zach's season, where I just decided to go and hang out and be there to see what happened. Something goes down. Mm-hmm. And then you're there to talk to Zach or talk with one of the cast members. And I don't know if it's going to air or if it's not going to air. I haven't seen any of it yet. But it's better for me. I like to be involved. I just really want to be a part of it. And two, sometimes there's these moments that just happen that where it's not anticipated. And then that way you can sort of be there to act and you know, hopefully do my job.
Yeah. Man, see, I feel like that would be the fun part of hosting, is being able to just kind of sit and watch it all go down. Like, obviously, you'll watch the show when it airs, but there's so much that viewers will never see. So to be part of that is probably so beneficial for your job as host, but also just being a support system. Without giving too much away, can you give us a little teaser about what to expect from Zach's upcoming season?
Yeah, I would say that Zach's season is a bit of a throwback season in the sense that this is really about the love story. It's not so much about the drama. And I know in some past seasons, drama takes over. And on every season of Bachelorette, every season of Bachelor, there is going to be drama. That's just something you can't avoid. Mm-hmm. But this season really is less about that. And it's really more about the love story. And about Zach trying to find his person. He's really, really intentional. I think one of the things that I was so impressed with watching Zach is that he really made a point to talk to everybody. And I know, when I was the Bachelor, I know, you know, group date, rose ceremony. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'll talk to everybody. And then things happen and there's drama and someone, you know, can I steal you for a second? And all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I've only spoken to literally half the people. No wonder everybody's upset. Zach made a point of getting time with every single woman virtually every day. There may be one or two that he didn't, but he was really intent on that. I think part of that is probably because of his experience on Rachel's season. He had a lot of time taken away because of a lot of stuff that happened. But I think a lot of that is really Zach and sort of kind of what he wants to do. Also, this is easily the most emotional season that I've hosted. Not even close.
Even more so than Clayton's?
Can you tease why?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I want you to explain how you see that, because when I sit over here and think about emotion, or even as a viewer, a lot of times we mistake emotion as it's not a dramatic season unless everybody's crying. I'm not a big crier. And so there are a lot of times where I'll be really hurting and I'll use my words, but that's not emotion because you're not like outwardly crying.
Expressing
it. So would you say when you're talking about it's the most emotional season, is it because of the things that happen and it triggers the viewer's heartstrings, or is it because there's a lot of crying emotion?
I think it's a lot of expressive emotion. I think the biggest reason why, and more than Paradise, and I'm not kidding, by the way. I think the thing that, going back to night one, I remember watching the women get out of the limo, and it was a first for me in the sense that it was the most I've ever seen of people getting out of the limo, walking up to the lead and saying, "I'm so happy it's you. I'm here for you. When I found out you were the Bachelor, I decided I wanted to come and do this." I didn't experience that with Clayton, obviously, because no one had seen Clayton on TV before we started filming his, right, Michelle? Mm-hmm. Your season hadn't yet aired. So a lot of the women got out of and they had never seen Clayton before in their lives. These women, I think, were very emotionally invested and hopeful of finding love with Zach. And also, Zach is an extremely emotional bachelor. He's a very emotional man, and he's expressively. Zach cries a lot, but it's because he has such a big heart, and he genuinely cares about people's feelings, and his impact and his actions and how that affects people.
Yeah.
The hardest part of this whole thing for Zach was, I was saying to you, is goodbyes.
Yeah.
When he says goodbye to people, it breaks him. It really, really does.
Yeah.
And so this season for me, from just the emotion, it's not because of drama or, you know, backstabbing or things that are happening behind the scenes. It's really because of the love and sort of the pursuit of that and the relationships that he forms to me is something that really stands out.
Yeah. Okay. I do love the fact that he's like a man who's comfortable with his emotions and being able to show emotions. So like I will already applaud that. I think that's amazing. I'm really curious to see how the public responds to his emotion, because as a female, I don't know why, just even listening to you as you're speaking about it, it is this really cool, beautiful thing. As a female, it's really it's kind of frustrating to see that, you know, when men cry, it's this, oh my goodness, it's this beautiful thing because it's a, like, you know, a man showing emotion, versus like when women cry, we're crybabies and we're too emotional. So I'm so curious to see how the public responds to this. And I hope that they respond to it in a positive way. And I also hope that when other females are also showing that same emotion on Zach's season, I really hope that the audience responds in a positive way as well. Just because, I hope the vulnerability is widely accepted across the board this season.
Yeah, you know, I one of the beautiful things I think about kind of Zach's approach on the show too is that I think sometimes, you know, like you said, for men, I mean, I think back to myself being a former football player where it's never okay to show emotion and you can't ask for help. And you have to figure everything out by yourself. I internalized everything for a very, very long time emotionally myself. And I had to grow a lot that way. I think sometimes one of the things I think Zach understood going in into this season was that he had to be intentional with his actions. And because a lot of these women on night one, they're so nervous. You know, you remember how all of us were on night one. It's just all the cameras. You're not sure how you can behave. Can you be yourself? I think Zach's actions, I think, helped allow everybody to feel comfortable and safe to say things, to behave a certain way, to cry if they wanted to cry and not be judged for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and Zach really shows his emotion early. And I think that helps people, you know, he really did a good job of building a safe space for everybody, you know, in the room, in the mansion, to sort of feel like they could hopefully be their most authentic self. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I hope people, when they see him, don't think he's less of a man because of it or anything like that. This is just authentically who he is. Mm-hmm. It sort of goes back to that authenticity about Zach. He's not trying to be James Bond Bachelor. Mm-hmm. He's just being Zach.
Right. Mm. Ain't nothing wrong with the tears.
There's really not.
There's really not. Yeah. So I'm hoping, actually, this leads me to a good question for Bachelor Nation as a whole. You know, Jesse, we always have New Year's resolutions for ourselves, but for Bachelor Nation, is there something that you would love to see happen this year as a whole, whether that's like within the franchise, within the fan base, whatever it might be?
From the franchise, what about like a senior bachelor? I know that's something that keeps kind of people talk about a little bit. Mm-hmm. Michelle, are we going to do that?
I hope so.
They keep teasing it. And, you know, Jesse, you're the ones who are, you know, reading all these lines after an episode finishes of like, stay tuned to this or like apply here. I feel like, do you have any insight? Because haven't they teased this senior bachelor sign up here? Like,
I think it would be so great.
Now.
Oh, I would love it.
I hope we do it.
And what's considered senior?
See, I don't, like, that's what, the what thing.
Is like, do you need an AARP membership? Is that the baseline?
I don't know. Dentures. You can't have your own teeth.
All I know is that if that show happens, Grandpa John needs to be the number one contestant or bachelor. Who knows?
Wouldn't he be amazing? I wonder sometimes if that was the guy they had in mind for this whole thing. Maybe we just keep doing these casting call advertisements, trying to coerce him into doing it. Gabby's told me no way. Like, she's told me multiple times, absolutely not.
He would be so good. And she could be alongside him, helping him guide his heart on this journey.
Yes. I think it would be so great.
Jesse, we could pick your brain and talk about this, I feel like, forever. I know that you are a busy, busy man. So before we let you go, we're going to get into our resource part of the podcast. We think it's so important to always keep our listeners informed and share important resources that we come across and that we love. Again, everyone will always try to include this on our Instagrams too, so it's an easy place that our followers can go and check out. So with that, Michelle, do you want to kick it off? Do you want me to kick it off?
Okay, I'll take it away.
Have at it.
So I've been, a lot of times my resources have been podcasts or video, like something, video documentaries, docuseries. And this one I'm going to keep it very simple and short and concise, because I know that everybody has a lot going on in this new year and things like that. But it's actually this article I post on my story. It's called How Not to Be an Ally. There's a little video that goes with it. And it really just does a good job of explaining kind of the stereotypes of how people typically perform or feel that they feel they need to be as an ally versus what we actually really need. And a lot of it goes into with when you're signing on or when you're speaking about becoming an ally, yes, it's important to speak up during these moments of really these big, big issues that are taking place. And that's that tends to be when we see these things step up. But if you truly are an ally, that means that your work is never ending. And so that means that when there's not this massive event such as George Floyd or, you know, all these other things going on, you still should be doing work and you still have to hold yourself to that expectation. And that's what a true ally looks like. So it really does a good job of pulling in that apart, dissecting it, misconceptions and stereotypes of what you should be doing versus what you are doing versus what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just really clarifies it, because I think it can sometimes become like this like taboo topic to talk about where people don't really know how to get started. And it's a wonderful place for people to start. So again, I will tag that article on my story for people to give a quick read.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Yeah. So Jesse, I'll go really quick and then we'll let you wrap that one up. But so this is an article/video and it's from PBS and it actually came out in 2020. So I know it's a few years old, but I think it's still very important and timely. The name of it is The Critical Role White Parents Play in Shaping Racism and Helping Eradicate It. And it's by, and if I pronounce her name incorrectly, apologies, Charlene Hunter Gault. And basically, she brings on this woman who, I believe it was part of one of her courses. She went into these more so white affluent districts, neighborhoods, communities, and sat down with kids and parents. And just, she started out like asking them about American history, just to see like what kind of gauge these children had from their history classes. And a lot of it, she realized, history classes in more white affluent schools, neighborhoods, communities didn't do a great job of getting into like the real roots of American history and the racism that occurs, that still is occurring, but, you know, occurred when this country was built. And so she meets with these children, but then also chats with the parents of like what they can do to combat this and help this. And one thing that she, it was like her main takeaway was not just talking to children about racism, like that's a step, but she's, her main thing was how can parents immerse their children into more diversity so they see people of color, they see how other people live that aren't white, that aren't as wealthy. And so it's a quick video, and the transcript is all there. Again, it's called The Critical Role White Parents Play in Shaping Racism and Eradicating It. And I thought it was a good one because Thomas and I, you know, he is a Black man, I'm a white woman. One day, hopefully sooner rather than later, we want to have our own children. And that's a topic of conversation that we're not only going to have, but we also want to immerse our children in more diversity. And so I thought that was a good article and video. Again, like Michelle said, I will take that on my Instagram too for everyone to check out. But with that, Jesse, do you have a resource you would like to share?
Yeah, there was an article I was reading earlier this year on NPR News, and it's a little bit about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I know we talk a lot about the importance of having that in society, in our businesses, and in schools. Yeah, it's happening in sports as well, though. And before this last NFL season, in the owners' meetings, the NFL came out with a new rule requiring teams to hire minority coaches and women, actually, on their staffs in offensive positions on the coaching staff. One of the big issues right now in the National Football League is I think there's about 60% or so, if not more, of players are African-American. There's only three head coaches right now that are African-American, and they're trying to find creative ways on how they can combat that and how they can get more opportunity for people of color. And they found that historically, head coaches come from offensive backgrounds and play calling. And so they're trying now to kind of to go out and to get these teams to look and hire coaches in that position. It's not just like anybody can come off the street and become that coach. They have to have experience mm-hmm. at the collegiate and the pro level, but they think this is a way that it can actually give opportunities to people to show their value. And same goes for women too. I love the idea of women getting into coaching and football, because I think mm-hmm. both of these examples show that, you know, sometimes when you fight against these stereotypes and these preconceived notions of what you think people can do, you end up being proven wrong, and you find out that they bring so much value and they make your team or they make your business or they make your classroom better. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great that in pro sports, we're seeing this as well. And at least we're trying, they're trying to make a change, and it's at least a process. People are trying to come up with creative solutions. And I know people can certainly go online to read more about this and what the NFL is trying to do. Obviously the NFL is my background, having played pro football, but I just really love the idea. I work with people getting opportunity and being empowered and enabled to do that, I think is going to make the NFL just a whole bunch better. People can read about it online.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's like with anything in life, you want people on a higher level to mirror the real life. So, yeah. And I'm so glad that we had you on, because, you know, Michelle and I have talked about resources every week that we do this podcast, but like that's, you know, I'm not coming from a football mindset. I am not athletic. I don't really watch football, no offense, but to see this, the resources and this conversation happening in all varieties of life, I think is so important. So thank you for sharing that. I know we talked a little bit about teasers and Zach season coming up. I want to know your rose and thorn of your entire first year as the Bachelor franchise host.
Okay, so I would say for me, it's I'll just think back to the most recent thing, Brandon and Serene, their proposal, an engagement in paradise. Mm-hmm. I thought was beautiful. I've said it all along. When they got together and I saw them together, I'd never seen two people that just seemed to be more perfect for each other. And for that to ride out throughout the entire course of the season, and to end in an engagement, which I thought was beautiful. That was certainly a high note for me. Mm-hmm. A thorn from this season, and I hope I won't get in trouble for saying this. I basically mistakenly told Zach where we were going for the final exotic location. And I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, that's happened to everyone, I think.
Yeah, you think so? I don't know. I was like,
he was probably still so excited, right, when you told him?
I did it right in front of the producers. We were on a plane and we were going somewhere and we just had a rose ceremony or something the night before and everybody was like super exhausted. And I know they were like, don't tell Zach. Remember, it's a secret. Mm-hmm. And I kept all the other locations secretive. And in a moment of like weakness and 2 hours of sleep, I blurted out where we were going because I was super excited. I'd never been there before. Mm-hmm. I'd always wanted to go there. I could not mm-hmm. wait to spend 2 weeks there. And of course I told Zach. And when I said it, I tried to like, it was like I said it, and then I stopped and looked to see if anybody noticed.
Yeah.
And Zach definitely noticed.
It happens. Don't feel bad about it.
I felt so bad about it for like 4 days. And like producers would always come by and be like,
go. At least he still got to go.
Okay, so where was it?
So
I can't say.
Damn it. I was hoping I could get it out of
you. Make it again. We almost caught him back there. We almost caught him.
PTSD about this now for the last several months.
He's like, I'm not going to say anywhere ever again until it airs.
Ever again. Yeah.
Well, zipping. Jesse, this was so much fun. We have come full circle from January 3rd, 2022 to January 3rd, 2023. You have lived a lifetime within this franchise, and we're so happy we could have you back on again today. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's so great seeing you again, especially this time of year. And I hope this becomes a regular occurrence with you both.
I know. Pencil us in for January 3rd next year.
Let's do it. All right. Happy New Year.
All right, Jesse. Happy New Year. So good happy to see New year. You. He's always so great. I love having him. He's just such a kind soul. And I think he does a really good job of whoever he's talking to. He makes you feel heard and important. So I can see why they picked him as the host, especially to be alongside the leads.
Absolutely. And one thing that I feel like I noticed about him is that he's understanding and he doesn't expect himself to be an expert. He very much handles himself in a way of I'm learning right alongside of you or whoever the lead is. And that's mm-hmm. what I really love about him is that I think it's just fresh. You know, mm-hmm. he's just willing to kind of like continue to observe, but also offer help and like also like craft, kind of figure out the craft of the whole hosting situation, right. But always willing to learn. So that's what I really I appreciate that.
Yeah. And he said something very great too. And that was, you know, if he's ever giving advice, he doesn't want to give advice, right? Like he can give his side of things, what he experienced as a lead years ago, but he just wants to be that support system, which I think everyone can take to heart. And, you know, we've all lived through this experience. Like you and I, we're both bachelorettes, but what we experienced during our time on the show was vastly different. And we did things in way different ways. And that's everyone. And so I think that's a great perspective to go into it of like, I want to be here for you and have your back and support you, but I don't want to tell you how to do things. I think that's very important. Right. I guess he got me a little bit more excited for Zach's season again. I don't know too much about Zach other than when we had him on our podcast a few months ago now. It sounds like it'll be a good season. I like that he said that they're going back to the basics and it's going to be more about the love story, which I appreciate.
I do too. And I'm excited to kind of see how the season unfolds with everything. And I feel like I really hope that we can learn more about the contestants, just because I feel like oftentimes we always learn the bad things, we always learn the drama, but it would be really nice to just know more about the contestants, especially because a lead typically comes from somebody who's been in the mix, and it's just been all these situations oftentimes where it's like a lead is stepping into the role and it's hard to feel connected with them because you don't know anything.
Right. And yeah, and we definitely saw that last year, you know, no, as Jesse said, no one really knew Clayton coming on. I mean, I guess we did because we watched your season with him, but the contestants going on didn't know much about him. And I also feel like with Gabby and Rachel's season, so much was centered around those two. And I think having a dual bachelorette season really took away from contestant time. And so I think with Zach's season starting fresh, having people know who he is beforehand, even though it's not much, I think will hopefully lend to that. Yeah. So, Michelle, it's so good to see you again after, you know, all the holidays and the new year. I always love catching up with you. So thank you for being back. And thank you to all of our Happy Hour listeners who joined us again in this new year. And also thank you, Jesse, for being here. I know that you're a busy man, so I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And for everybody listening, please don't forget, casting is now open for men to date our next Bachelorette, whoever that might be. So if you are single or know someone who is single, ready to mingle, go to the website to nominate or apply. And that website is bachelornation.com/apply.
And make sure to hit us up on social. You can follow us at Bachelor Happy Hour on Instagram. And from there, you will find everything you need to know to follow us on Twitter and TikTok.
And for all of you Prime members, you can listen to Bachelor Happy Hour ad-free on Amazon Music. Just download the Amazon Music app today, or you can also listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us something about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Thank you, Bachelor Happy Hour listeners, and we will see you next week.
Cheers!
Cheers!
So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert, I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
I think when you're in a relationship, being able to travel with somebody is like one of the best things you could do.
I agree. I think some of our best memories together are exploring new places and relaxing somewhere on a beach.
So we've been working with the brand Beachbound Vacations to find our next perfect beach vacation. And instead of spending hours searching for your perfect beach, take the perfect beach finder quiz and let Beachbound do the heavy lifting for you. Go to beachbound.com to get started today. I mean, I love it. I can't wait for our next vacation.
To get started, go to beachbound.com, click be the first to try, and then select take our quiz.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.